For the rest of the hour, we're going to take a look at the latest news in heart disease treatment prevention. The risk factors associated with heart disease are well known. You know them. They're high blood pressure, smoking, poor diet, lack of exercise, and, of course, high cholesterol. And doctors have known for years that high cholesterol levels contribute to a heart attack risk. They give us those cholesterol numbers to keep track of, don't they? So, of course, we assume that the lower the level of cholesterol in our blood, then the lower the risk. But how high is high and how low is low? You know, when you take medicine to control cholesterol, how low should you go? Two recent studies have reached the same conclusion that the lower is better when it comes to LDL or bad cholesterol levels. But can you go too low? And what about the role of C-reactive protein? We talked about that before on the program, that it was a better at predicting the risk, a better risk predictor than cholesterol levels. How does that factor into this equation? Joining me to talk about all of this are my guests. Dr. Paul Ridker is director of the Center for Cardiovascular Disease Prevention at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Welcome back to Science Friday, Dr. Ridker.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Dr. Stephen Nissen is a cardiologist at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Nissen.
Great to join you.
Tell us about this new study, the reversal study. You compared people taking two common cholesterol-lowering drugs, pravastatin and atorvastatin, or Prevacol and Lipitor, as they're really called. Tell us what the results were.
Well, the results were really very striking. When we designed the study in 1998, we really didn't know how low to go. And so we took the most powerful cholesterol-lowering drug available, which is an 80-milligram dose of Lipitor, and we pitted it against a standard dose of Pravacol. We actually took people to a cholesterol level, the LDL, or bad cholesterol, that averaged 79. Now, the current guidelines say get below 100.
Right.
And when we did that, in this comparison, which involved about 500 patients, the group that got high-dose Lipitor, we actually completely halted the progression of their disease using a very sensitive measurement technique in which we put an ultrasound probe in the coronary, and we actually measure the plaque buildup in the vessel. So we found that we could literally stop the disease in its tracks, completely stop progression, if we gave this more intense regimen. When we gave a standard regimen, the disease continued to progress at quite a considerable rate.
Hmm. And why one drug over the other? Were you able to tell why?
Well, that's what's really fascinating, is it looks like there are two things driving this. We got to a lower LDL cholesterol with the atorvastatin or Lipitor arm, but we also reduced CRP by 36%, that's C-reactive protein, by 36% with atorvastatin or Lipitor, and by only 5% with pravastatin or Pravacol. And it looks to us like the CRP reduction was as much a driver of the greater benefit as the LDL reduction. And so one immediately thinks of Paul Ridker when you look at these results, because he's been telling us for years that CRP is important.
Dr. Ridker, you came on a program a while back and told us that that was a better predictor in your studies.
Well, it's a very interesting issue, what's going on, because we understand that lowering cholesterol, particularly the bad cholesterol or LDL, is terribly important, and the new studies greatly reinforce that. But we've known for 30 years that high cholesterol levels are absent in almost half of all the individuals who will ever have a heart attack or stroke. And that was the beginning of a search for these new risk factors. And the idea that you could measure inflammation or the way the body responds to injury was a very hot topic in the vascular biology world. And it turned out a very simple blood test could be run, the CRP test. And that turned out, as you point out, to be actually a stronger risk factor than was the so-called bad cholesterol. But really the critical observation in this field was that there are individuals with low cholesterol levels who have high levels of CRP, and they're very high risk for having these heart attacks and these strokes.
Tell us a bit more what CRP actually is.
Well, CRP, or C-reactive protein, is a protein in our blood that we all make. It's very important. It helps us to fight off infections. It's part of our immune system, really. But it's also a marker for a change in our vessels within the coronary arteries that tells us that the plaque is building up, but also that these plaques are more likely to rupture. In other words, we know now that almost all of us living in a Western society are going to develop the underlying lesions of what we call atherosclerosis, or hardening of the arteries. But only some of us will actually burst those plaques. And those of us who have this heightened inflammatory response or this high CRP levels seem to be far more likely to actually rupture them. And, of course, it's the rupture that leads to not enough oxygen getting to the heart and the heart attack itself.
Mm-hmm. Is CRP routinely measured now in doctor's offices?
Well, it's quite interesting. The test really became available commercially about 2 years ago, and it's been very controversial. Many physicians are now using it routinely to pick up their high-risk patients because they can use that information to motivate them to live healthier lives, to stop smoking, to kind of, what we would say, get with the guidelines. There's been controversy in the other direction, though, that people are concerned about too much screening. And I know at Dr. Nissen's institution, they've actually put in a policy of screening pretty much everyone for the CRP test.
Mm-hmm. Is it just Lipitor, then, that lowers the CRP?
No, that would actually be a mistake. Dr. Nissen's data are very exciting because they tell us that the more potent the statin is in terms of lowering cholesterol, it may appear also that this change in CRP is absolutely critical. But we've got some other very powerful ways to lower CRP levels, and that's called diet, exercise, and smoking cessation. And we know these things reduce the risk of heart disease tremendously. And if we can motivate our patients to do those, they'll have a lot less heart disease and actually a lot less diabetes as well.
Can you really significantly lower your CRP level by doing those things as opposed to drugs?
You really can. The biggest impact seems to be weight loss. And we're hearing a lot about the epidemic of heart disease and diabetes. We do, as a population, weigh too much. And if we can get our patients to lose that weight, the CRP levels come down a lot. The issue, though, is I think we have to go beyond these fundamental prevention issues. So the data for the statins are really very exciting in that regard.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. Dr. Nissen, where do you go with the research now?
Well, you know, it's really an important time for us to make these observations because we're facing an epidemic now of cardiovascular disease, or CVD. The baby boomers are all about to hit 60 years of age. And when that happens, we're going to see an epidemic of this disease like nothing we've ever seen before because of the obesity and diabetes and other drivers. And so this quest to find a more effective therapy that can really slow down or stop the disease at this particular point in time is critical because never before in our history have we faced an epidemic of heart disease like we're going to see in the next decade.
All right, we're going to take a short break and come back and talk lots more with Dr. Stephen Nissen of the Cleveland Clinic and Dr. Paul Ridker of Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Stay with us. We'll be right back and take your phone calls. Don't go away. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. We're talking this hour about lowering your cholesterol and about the CRP and other risk factors in heart disease. A brief program note, join Neil Conan for an update on Pakistan's efforts to combat terrorism. That's on Monday's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. My guest, Paul Ridker, director of the Center for Cardiovascular Disease Prevention at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Dr. Stephen Nissen, cardiologist at the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio. Our number, 1-800-989-8255. Let's see if we can go to the phones. Got a couple of calls here. Lisa in Phoenix. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. How are you guys?
Fine. How are you?
Okay. Coincidentally, I am a typical baby boomer, and I just got my test results for a cholesterol check back yesterday. And it was 326 on my cholesterol, and I'm 5'5", 120 pounds. And I definitely have coronary risk in my family, so of course I'm wigged out.
Oh, did you have a breakdown of the different levels?
Yeah, I have it right in front of me.
Yeah, what was your HDL?
Okay, HDL was 92.
That's pretty high.
See, I don't know what any of this means. Okay, it just said, my doctor wrote good next to that one. Okay, HDL was 92, and he wrote good, and then LDL was 196, and he wrote bad.
Yeah. Those are above the, Dr. Ridker, those are above the suggested levels, although the HDL is pretty high.
Well, this is actually one of those cases that is important to talk about. Most of us, I think, in this era would say the LDL is just plain old too high. And as a caller said, Lisa sounds like she's thin, so it's not an issue of obesity at all. So the question would be, yeah, most of us, I think, we want to lower that cholesterol, particularly with her family history, and get that level down substantially. The HDL, or the so-called good cholesterol, is in an elevated range, but we don't know yet whether changing that HDL matters a great deal or not. There's a lot of exciting research in that area, but I don't know. I would get the LDL down.
You think the book is, you know, they say the HDL is the good cholesterol, takes away the bad effect, and counters the LDL. Is that too oversimplified, do you think?
I think it's oversimplified. You know, there are lots of people we see who have very high levels of LDL, and even though their HDL, their good cholesterol, is excellent, they still are at risk. And we just don't have as much information on what the HDL side of the story means.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my feeling is that an LDL of 196 is really right up there. And first of all, I want to also compliment your caller, because she's a baby boomer that made the step of going and getting checked.
Thank you.
We have a big problem here, and the problem is that we've got a whole generation of boomers in their 50s and late 40s. They don't know what their cholesterol is, and they are walking time bombs. And we've got to get the message out that at the very least, everybody needs to know what their cholesterol is, and everybody needs to know what their blood pressure is, because that's the only way we can interrupt the cycle of this disease.
Well, you know, I don't like the – I usually make a rule we don't prescribe for individuals on the phone, but I'm going to bend it a little because you said Lisa is such a good case here. If she is thin and if she has that high LDL, is she a candidate for some statin kind of lowering?
She is definitely a candidate. It has to be individualized, and she's got to talk to her physician in some detail about this. The problem here is that we have individuals that have a liver that's making too much of the LDL or bad cholesterol. And even though they may eat a very good diet and they may exercise and be thin, they have a biological predisposition to have a high cholesterol level. And those people will need drug treatment.
Mm-hmm.
The big problem we have is that there's a certain inherent fear of drug treatment on the part of many patients. And it's unfortunate because these drugs, the statin drugs, are very safe drugs. They're life-saving drugs. And for those people that need them, they should not hesitate to take them.
Well, you got your marching orders, Lisa.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you guys so much.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's go to Mary Alice in Pocatello, Idaho. Hi, Mary Alice.
Hello there.
Hi there.
My question is, what role does folic acid play in controlling the CRP levels?
Well, folic acid's a very important vitamin that has been shown to lower homocysteine levels, and homocysteine is another of the novel risk factors for heart disease. But the reason we don't talk about homocysteine very much anymore is that actually, if you just eat a normal diet and have some bread or some rolls every day or cereal, you're getting folic acid because it's been added to the food supply. The effect on CRP is actually quite minimal. The things that really impact upon CRP are, as I pointed out earlier, weight loss and exercise. And the statins are quite marvelous because they're sort of what we would call a twofer. They both lower the cholesterol and they seem to lower the CRP levels. And that's, I think, why these drugs are turning out to be so effective.
You know, Ira, one of the problems we face is that a lot of patients will seek sort of home remedies, what are commonly called nutraceuticals, everything from garlic to vitamin E, whatever. And for most of these therapies, they're really not a substitute for good medical advice. And yet people seem very readily willing to do that. And I want to urge, you know, any of your listeners that they really need to consult with a physician and not necessarily try to treat this on their own.
What number, we've all been ingrained with cholesterol level numbers. What numbers should we look for, meaningful numbers on the CRP numbers?
Well, CRP levels come in three flavors. If your level is less than 1 milligram per liter, that's a very good level. Levels between 1 and 3 milligrams per liter is sort of moderate risk. And then people who have CRP levels greater than 3 milligrams per liter are the high-risk people that we're really most worried about. The whole question becomes, how do we use this information? And I think for most of us in the cardiology world, we're saying, look, there's more than just cholesterol. Cholesterol is critically important, and we want to lower it. But we have guidelines that say if your cholesterol is above 160, you should aggressively think about using these drugs. If your cholesterol is between 130 and 160, I would argue if the CRP is also elevated, that's a very high-risk patient, and many of us are now treating them. The problem is, what do we do with a healthy middle-aged guy or a middle-aged woman whose LDL cholesterol is below this number of 130? This is the treatment target. We're supposed to get patients down to 130. Well, now we know that patients with a high CRP but a very low LDL cholesterol are nonetheless at quite high risk. So the key question being asked right now is, should we treat these patients with a statin or not? And to answer that question, we actually launched a major clinical trial just about a year ago. That trial is called JUPITER, and it specifically asks the question, if we give patients one of the newer statins, a very potent statin called rosuvastatin, can we actually prevent first-ever heart attacks, first-ever strokes, first-ever cardiovascular deaths in men and women who, for all respects, look healthy? And what they have is low cholesterol levels, but high levels of the CRP phenomena. And that's a critically important trial because it really implies that maybe we have to rethink the whole way we use these drugs. They were developed because they have this terrific ability to lower LDL cholesterol. But if so many events are happening among healthy folks who just don't have high cholesterol levels, maybe the CRP is our window of opportunity to really radically change the way we predict and prevent this disease.
Well, if the statins lower both the CRP and you've already got a low level of LDL, isn't there a danger of lowering it too much, the LDL level?
Let me address that and say that it's really surprising, but there does not appear to be any evidence that you can have too low an LDL. I actually have some patients who have LDL levels in the 20s and 30s.
No kidding.
And they don't suffer any adverse effects. Now, there are side effects from the statin drugs, like muscle pain and occasionally some elevations in liver enzymes, but they're really rare. They tend generally not to lead to trouble, and they're not actually related to the level of LDL. They seem to be more related to the dosage of the drug. And so, in my view, we're heading lower. I think that's the message here, that we're heading to lower target levels. We have had some spectacular studies. There were actually three studies back-to-back, all of which said lower is better. And I think we're going to see over the next 5 years that our targets are going to move to much lower levels than they've been at for the last decade.
Can you make a drug that targets CRP without targeting the LDL?
Actually, there are such drugs in development. There are some drugs that are more what we call pure anti-inflammatory drugs. And my laboratory is actually involved in studying several of those drugs, and we're going to have results sooner rather than later. I think it'll be fascinating to see whether a drug that doesn't affect cholesterol but does lower CRP will actually lower the risk of heart disease or the rate of progression of coronary plaques.
Talking about heart disease this hour and Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News, let me see if I can get one more question here. Brian in Cambridge. Hi, Brian.
Hi, yes. It's been really interesting talk today. I was actually wondering about other effects that lowering the CRP could have, and if some of these new statin drugs could help with other inflammation problems. I myself have pretty bad repetitive strain injuries that are just chronic inflammation that never goes away.
Well, it's actually a fascinating question. There are studies ongoing looking at use of statin drugs to treat a variety of other inflammatory disorders. I'll be interested in Paul Richter's comments, but the jury's still out on that. But they seem to have a pretty generalized anti-inflammatory effect, and we can't make such a recommendation now, but there is ongoing research designed to find out whether we can treat other inflammatory diseases with statin drugs.
Yeah, I actually think that these studies that are ongoing will help us in this regard, but it's the flip side I think is more exciting. The real issue is that if we can target new drugs that really impact upon the inflammation in these vessels themselves, this is an entirely new way of developing agents and getting at a way to lower heart attack risk. I think we were just incredibly lucky that the statins, which are terrific at lowering LDL, turned out also to lower CRP levels, and it helps us to explain why they're so terrifically effective. But that biologic insight is going to drive a lot of pharmaceutical discovery, because if we can figure out a way to target the inflammation directly, I think we have a real winner.
How much can exercise and diet lower, in a numbers game here, lower your CRP level?
Yes, actually very important. You've got to remember that if you diet and keep the weight off through midlife, and you go to the gym regularly and just don't use cigarettes at all, the proportion of heart disease in that group is very, very small. And we see rates of decline, if you like, of CRP of 30-40%, which is as large as you get with even the most potent of these statins. Difficulty is patients have to really commit to that. And the best way to commit to that is usually if you've had a family member who's had an event. It's a real wake-up call. Mm-hmm. It's hard to motivate people otherwise.
Is that an intense exercise every day, or is it a brisk walk for 30 minutes a day, or what is it?
We think that 30-40 minutes a day is the best way to get at this.
You know, it's also important to realize that both drugs and lifestyle changes work together synergistically, and so they're additive. And you can sometimes have people with very high levels of LDL and very high levels of CRP that both take medication and get on a really good lifestyle program, and they can go from the highest risk category down to a fairly low risk category with the combination of good drug therapy and good lifestyle changes.
Well, something that you don't have to immediately go to drugs, you could try just altering your lifestyle for it.
You have to be careful there, and I think it's important that we not mislead people about that. Most individuals can lower their LDL cholesterol only modestly with diet.
Mm-hmm.
We are not telling people to go and eat French fries and hamburgers every night. It's not a good idea. But don't expect a cholesterol level, an LDL level of 200 to come down to 100 mm-hmm. when you actually change your lifestyle and your diet. Many, many people will have to accept the need for drug therapy. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
All right, gentlemen, I want to thank you both for taking time to talk with us, because it's quite interesting. Dr. Paul Ridker, Director of the Center for Cardiovascular Disease Prevention at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Dr. Stephen Nissen, cardiologist at the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio. Thank you both for joining.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Have
Bye.
A good weekend. This program is produced by Annette Heist and senior producer Karen Vergoth. Charles Berquist is our web producer and our director. Our intern is Erica Altman. If you'd like to write us, please surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com. You can write us in the old-fashioned classic way. Send your letters to Science Friday, 55 West 45th Street, 4th floor, New York, New York, 10036. Also, you can surf over to our website when you're there, and you can also download back editions of Science Friday on your Audible player, on your iPod, whatever. Also, you can listen to them on Real Audio. And also, we have Science Friday's Kids Connection there, free teaching materials for you to take into your classrooms if you're a teacher and teach the science as we talk about it on the radio. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.